Howard. It's Bateman, Patrick Bateman. You're my lawyer, so I think you should know I've killed a lot of people. Some escort girls in an apartment uptown. Some homeless people, maybe 5 or 10. An NYU girl I met in Central Park. I left her in a parking lot behind some donut shop. I killed Bethany, my old girlfriend, with a nail gun. And some old faggot with a dog last week. I killed another girl with a chainsaw. I had to. She almost got away. Someone else there, I can't remember, maybe a model, but she's dead too. And Paul Allen. I killed Paul Allen with an axe in the face. His body is dissolving in a bathtub in Hell's Kitchen. I don't want to leave anything out here. I guess I've killed maybe 20 people. Maybe 40. I have tapes of a lot of it. Some of the girls have seen the tapes. I ate some of their brains. And I tried to cook a little. Tonight, I just had to kill a lot of people. And I'm not sure I'm gonna get away with it this time. So I guess I'm a pretty sick guy. So if you get back tomorrow, I may show up at Harry's bar. So, you know, keep your eyes open.
This is the CBS Evening News, with Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation. Military threat. Flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar and an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims and how they die. Chemical weapons. Carpet bomb deaths. Trump FBI. Killed and injured children. Police conspiracy. Negative attacks. Discipline. Sex and drinking binges. Dying of a heart attack. Dying of breast cancer. Dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb. Mountains of credit card debt. The mountain of cocaine. Tons of cocaine. Atomic bomb radiation experiments. Unwitting test subjects. Dangerous radiation. Marijuana abuse. Hooked on drugs. Time for us to bug out. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape, sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Nazi war criminals, cancer, garbage, murder, caution, terrorist, castigation, police conspiracy, dramatic urban torture, drunk driving, hostage siege, government shutdown, collapses, desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminal. Persecuted, semi-automatic handgun, explosive gunman killed a tourist, funeral victims, racist and massive lawsuit, hostage, ethnic war, cancer death rate fleeing for their lives, CIA narcotics operations, hungry, homeless, frustrated terrorists, spoiled, unsanitary, hard-hitting losers, brutal, bizarre, critical bombing, the gang's rule, criminal anti-government love triangle. Deeper and deeper into damage, even death. Anti-drug DEA, worldwide ban. Time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Disgruntled conspirator attack killed. U.S. warplane went down in flames, crash, gunned down, shooting death, blood drops, murderer. Desperate tragedy. Isn't he dead? Death penalty. Ransom note forbidding notorious overwhelming communist urban punishment. Low ethics. Extortion and murder. A plane crash set an entire neighborhood on fire. International smuggling pipeline. Make it faster, better, cheaper. Health risk. Criminal murdering a man. Tough diplomatic hell on earth. Magnetic radiation. Fraudulent assassins. Mysterious murder. Chemical terrorism. Military targets. Fatal crash. Danger. A freak accident. No known survivors. Wild and woolly semi-automatic truck bomb. Emergency anti-fatal shooting rampage. Notorious negative police brutality. Fear. The hidden Nazis next door. Marxist rebels. Serious murderer. Accidents, problems, punitive damages. Like that negative, heart-wrenching controversy. Time for us to bug out. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Rocked. Rocked. Rocked by rape. Sex, drugs, and rocked by rape. Bug out, bug out, bug out, bug, bug. And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS TV News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
Hi, welcome everybody to the Droop Show, which now has obfuscated on it. And we've even come up with a new name for the show, but we're going to let the suspension build for the one guy that's trying to get the iPod. And you know who you are. Anyway, I'm Droops, and this is my co-host.
Obfuscate It, and this is episode 5. What's today's date? July the 29th, Thursday, July the 29th, 2004.
But we're releasing it tomorrow.
That's or today.
Or tonight, yeah, because it's about to be Friday. Anyway, sorry. Well, we've been talking about how we're going to do the show and the format and everything, and we're trying not to go off on so many crazy tangents, because last time we got a little crazy with, like, Huey Long stories that no one cares about, unless you live in Louisiana.
But you learned something,
like religion.
Though. You learned something.
Yeah, but you learned something. History is very important. We should have a little history segment in the show. Anyway, so we're going to read some email, we're going to talk about stuff that we've been doing, and then we're going to delve into the news, and then we're just going to blather on. At the end, we're giving our shouts. So if you think we're giving a shout to you, you have to listen to the dead last of the thing, or just skip ahead a little bit. And, what have you been doing this week, my friend?
I've been driving around like Speed Racer and coming home smelling like an anchovy cunt.
An anchovy cunt, eh?
An anchovy cunt, eh?
Okay, that's my quote of the week. Right there. Okay.
Damn, well, you
I've been working at my miserable little job, dealing with people that are just retarded, like just utterly retarded. I don't really understand why people will just throw their computer away because it doesn't work. I understand they get frustrated with it, but I think if I'd spent $1,000 on something that didn't work, I just wouldn't throw it away. I would try to find someone else that could problem solve it and maybe fix it for me before I chunked it away. But on the other hand, I have been giving my name and phone number to these people because I've been telling them it costs money to dispose of computers, and that it would be best just to give it to me, and I could dispose of it for them. Half my paternity is run that I gave them, and not that it's a big paternity. There's like 6 people in it. But, you know, those 3, man, they needed a computer.
Your fraternity?
I'm in a Chi Psi fraternity at Ole Miss.
I thought you were in Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Yeah, Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. That's like the leading joke on campus, I think, about the fraternity. We were actually going through Rush last year, and someone brought up that our fraternity had the highest GPA on campus. They were like, should we tell everybody that? And everybody's like, no, don't fucking tell them that. That would be very bad.
We'll get beat up.
I still fuck out of college, whatever.
On a side note, Blue Bell ice cream is very delicious.
Yeah, our sponsor this week is not cigarettes or beer that we're drinking and smoking, but Blue Bell ice cream. Because it's, what's the theme there, buddy?
Country made or some shit. What's the
homemade country style.
Homemade country style. Like my ex-lesbian.
All right. we've got the date. We've got what we've been talking about. Oh, I have something I want to talk about. Maybe somebody could help me with my little problem. I bought a little wireless G router. It's a Linksys, and I brought it home, and it worked great. But after about an hour of running, it would stop just completely functioning. You couldn't get on the wireless. You couldn't hardwire straight into it and get the little 192.168.1.1 page. It would just give you nothing. And you reset it, and you let it sit for a while, and it would work great. So I called tech support, and I'm going to talk about tech support later. But they didn't speak English. They were in the Philippines. I always ask. And they didn't know shit. They were trying to get me to change wireless settings, and I told them I was using Linux. When they asked for an operating system, they were like, oh, we don't support. And I'm like, it doesn't fucking matter. You know, like, I should be able to go to a fucking web page. So I'm using Linux or I'm using fucking Windows. And it was working great until I replaced it with this thing. Anyway, it's been sitting in my closet because I can't return it. And kind of got screwed out of the money there. But now I'm trying it. I took the cover off of the thing, and I think it was just getting too hot. I've took the cover off of it, and I've been sending files and FTP and like crazy from my laptop just to my desktop through it. And it's not, you know, it's been running for a couple days and without a hitch. So if anyone's had any trouble with that, please send us an email. And the email is droops@gmail.com or whatever obfuscated email address is. I don't know.
I get up. I'm tossing a few out right now. I do not know which one I'm going to start using. I'm going to try obfuscated, obfuscated@lab5ae.com. lab5ae.com. And also, did you try to kick it? It works with my channel changer.
See, it works with my digital camera and my printer, but it doesn't seem to work with this thing. All right, anyway.
Also, I've been on like 6 job interviews this week. And I forgot how much, I haven't been in one like in a year. And I forget how much they suck and how like similar they are. Because, of course, they all take the same, you know, human resources management class to learn how to do interviews.
Oh, yeah, I've actually taken that class.
Yeah, where they show you how to interview people. Or as a person going out looking for a job, you can take the same kind of classes. You know, how to answer those really stupid questions for some next week's show. I'm actually going to gather a bunch of these questions and tell you how to answer them. The really stupid ones. Like, you know.
Hey, that's really good.
Yeah, I'm going to do that for next week. Right after I masturbate, I'm going to write out an article. And learn you something, boy, on the air.
Well, that would be actually educational. I don't know if we can do that on our show. Can we do educational?
We could do it like it's like the 5th week anniversary.
Okay, this week anniversary is the educational show. You're going to learn something. Listen to it. Actually, it's the 6th week anniversary, but whatever. Let me give a little backstory right here. I've been taking these little online IQ tests, talking of retarded tests on the internet and going to interviews and answering stupid questions.
Is frozen bubble getting old to you or something? Or?
And, yeah. And, like, I didn't do very well in school because I just didn't care for it. A lot of us, I'm sure, got sick of learning the same old shit day after day. Like, once you work one multiplication problem, you can work all the rest of them. There's no sense in sitting in sixth grade and just working multiplication problems all day long. And we all know about calculators, and we all know about computers. Anyway. We all know how to do this stuff, and I got real bored, and my parents sent me to this little special school in Baton Rouge where I would go after my school day. It's called the Huntington Learning Center, if anyone ever cared.
Yeah,
and pretty much they taught you how to take standardized tests. And I was always really good, like, you know, 99 or 100s on, like, little whatever, the standardized tests you take in school. And they pretty much taught you how to answer these things and how to think these specific questions through. And I've been taking some IQ tests. And this stuff has no relevance of anything in life. It's like, here's a pattern. Find the rest of it. And it's just silly crap. Like, according to an IQ test, I have I took online the other day, I have a 148 IQ. And I'm not that smart. And, like, that's, like, in, like, the gifted superior kind of range. And, like, I work at fucking Circuit City. And, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not motivated. But anyway, learn how to take these standardized tests. It'll look really good when you're trying to get into a real college and things like that. Did you do good on your ACTs or SATs?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I took an SAT a long time ago. I don't remember what I made, though.
Okay.
I did really shitty in math because I'm not a math person. And I did really good in English. I'm one of those people.
Okay. Well, I always did really good in both of them because I knew how to take the tests.
Oh, you went to the Head Start Center and learned how to do it.
Yeah, there's silly stuff. Anyway, so I don't know where that was leading, but that's a story that I tell. And now, on to the news. The first article today I'm going to talk about, because I'm not given obfuscated a chance to talk about it. And what is the new media right now? We've got, like, you know, online radio shows, but it's just like there's been pirate radio for the longest time, and there's been people with radio shows, and they talk about the news. Maybe we have a different format than other ones, but we're not really breaking ground, any of us, with these online radio shows. What is something that's gotten the voice of the people out with the internet lately, and that's a blog? Blogs can be typed up by anybody with their damn cell phone. You can have picture blogs. You can have, text blogs. A lot of blogs are read by a lot of people, and then a lot of blogs are read by nobody. And blogs are becoming a real big outlet of the media because somebody that has no technical training in writing or reporting skills or quantitative reasoning can just start typing whatever shit they want to do. And they're actually more prevalent than online radio shows because you don't have to download this two-hour show of me and Guy over here cussing and drinking beer. And you can just read the text, and it's becoming a big media outlet. And article in the Wall Street Journal right here, bloggers have written their way into the mainstream, and the media may never be the same. This week, Democrats have granted official media credentials for their convention to more than 35 political weblogers, or bloggers. They range from a 16-year-old from New Jersey who writes the widely read Daily, DailyKOS.com, to a guy who's 53 years old, who's a fellow at Harvard University for a Center of Internet and Society. That's really cool that a little 16-year-old kid is getting his voice heard by people, and he's actually been invited to the Democratic National Convention. At the same time, the mainstream media have rushed to join the blogger party. MSNBC's rolled out a site this week called Hard Blogger, featuring postings from Chris Matthews, Andrea Mitchell, and Joe Tribbiani, which is a really cool name, who's the former candidate manager for Howard Dean, who was very web-savvy.
Yeah.
And MTV News has hired some old chick who writes the risque inside the Beltway gossip blog, Wonkette.com. Now, all these links will be on the page if I go inside and type them. And they're reporting live news from the Fleet Center Arena, where the convention is being held. They've actually set up a wireless access for these people to write it with their laptops right from the convention floor, which is kind of shitty because it's not really giving them time to think. But maybe they don't think. And maybe they'll go back later and change some things. And they've also been given a table so that they can interview the candidates face-to-face. I think that's really cool that independent media has been invited to partake in something that's big, like the Democratic National Convention, which is a big deal. And do you have any thoughts on this?
On blogging?
Yeah. You ever read a blog?
Yeah. Yeah, and I quickly closed it. Blogs are cool. It gives the everyday person the chance to voice his or her opinion, but of course they're just his or her opinions. But
yeah, well, that's what everything is.
Right. It's a good. I don't read them, but I don't have one. Don't plan on it. But they're pretty. It gives a chance for the everyday person to voice their opinion, which is a good idea. I'm just not into them.
Well, that's great. All right, buddy. Your turn. I'm gonna say I'm not into your article either. Go ahead.
I have to get an article. Okay. The French ISPs join Privacy Crown.com, and I know how much you love the French. That's why I picked this article.
Oh, I love the frogs. Unless we have a French viewer, and then I appreciate the culture and sophistication the French have brought to the world.
Oh, like the statue that broke?
Is it broke?
It broke like 10 years. They fixed it 10 years ago.
It's really old.
Well, the Leaning Tower of Pisa is still there, and it's fucking falling down.
Yeah, some Italians, they can build stuff.
Anyway, the French internet service providers agreed Wednesday to cooperate in a crackdown against web surfers who illegally download music online. And the, that's an important part. And a government-backed charter, also signed by record labels and musician groups, French-leaning internet companies agreed to pull the plug on pirates and step up cooperation with copyright prosecutions. The agreement was signed by representatives of the internet service providers Free, Noons, Club Internet, WannaDo, and some other French name I can't pronounce. Christine Levitt, Club Internet CEO and head of the French Association of Internet Service Providers, stressed that the companies like her own will cut subscriptions only upon the decision of a judge. Nevertheless, the charter also calls on music copyright holders to launch and publicize target civil and criminal court against pirates by the end of the year. By agreeing to help in the crackdown on pirates, hey matey, French internet companies hope they can French internet companies hope they can head off the need for tough legislation such as the 1998 Digital Millennium Copyright Act in the United States, which holds service providers financially liable if they don't immediately remove copyright material posted by their users when requested to do so.
Now, I have a question.
No.
If your band makes music.
Right.
And if you copyrighted it, would you copyright it in France?
Fuck no.
Well, how are they going to uphold, like, American copyright? They're like, just the RIAA?
Oh, well, yeah. When if you're with a major label, they take care of that.
Okay.
You don't... Okay, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm going to go ahead and... some people may, but I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody. When you sign to a major label, you don't own your music. They own it. It's copyright to them. So,
well, it depends on what kind of deal you get with them.
Well, this is 99% of the deals, if you're like, a major label. Now, independent labels work differently, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But if you're with, like, say you would, Columbia. I don't know who the fuck's out there now. But
Sony.
Let's say Sony. Sony owns the music. You have no rights to the music. You can't even play it without them knowing it. It is theirs. And only theirs. It's not yours. So they make sure they copyright it globally. Now, what a lot of people I see are doing now, especially independents, which each band is forming their own record label. And what happens is, say I have a band, and say I make a record label called Obfuscated Records. What I do is, say a small independent company wants to get my music, let's say Relapse Records. They release a lot of metal stuff. What I would do, I would license it to them. So basically, they're just leasing the music. It's still owned by me. They just lease it, which gives me more control over how they present it, and it gives me more of a share of the profits. Which, or a lot of independent people are doing now. That's never going to happen in the major labels because they're making way too much money now off their artist. But
I know this is kind of old, but I remember when Nirvana came out,
mm-hmm.
and I think the way they worked their record deal is they owned the money better, like they owned the music better, so they made more money than most bands would, but the record companies didn't do as much to help them. Like, they didn't have a cushion if they failed.
Well,
they would just be shit out of their luck.
Yeah. I'll have to read up on that because I didn't hear that, but I know at first they were signed by...
They're making it up.
You are?
Maybe. I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm going to look it up. I'll look it up because I don't remember reading that. You're probably right. I never got into that part. But I know they were first signed by Sub Pop Records, which is a pretty well-known underground label.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were signed by Geffen Records, which is no longer anymore. I know Geffen didn't push them that hard. I know that for a fact. Nirvana just kind of happened.
Yeah.
It was kind of the right place at the right time. Because Nirvana wasn't the only people doing that kind of music at the time. But they just, caught something that no one else did at the time. They were pretty much word of mouth. I know Geffen didn't push them worth shit. Then once they caught on, of course, Geffen was like, oh, yes, we help you.
Well, the only reason I bring this up is today, like, I don't pay attention to, you know, music on the radio. Like, I really don't. And, like, I've heard of the Foo Fighters, and I've heard them play, mm-hmm. but a kid asked me to find a CD for him today. Like, I sell computers at the store, but, like, people always ask me. And I don't know shit, so I'm going to go look everything up. Like, I don't even know what genre most bands are. Right. And right on the front of the Foo Fighters record is picture Dave Grohl.
Right.
And I was like, that guy looks familiar.
You didn't know?
And I had to ask somebody.
You didn't know that?
I'm fucking retarded. But he cut his hair. He looks nice and cleaned up, kind of, for like a musician.
You really didn't know that?
No.
Yes, he started Foo Fighters like almost right after Kurt killed himself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so now I'm going to have to start listening to Foo Fighters.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're okay. It's just pretty interesting that Dave Grohl used to be in a band called Scream, which were really fucking, like, kind of hardcore punk. And Pat Smear, who's also in Foo Fighters, he was in a band called The Germs, which was pretty damn hard. But now they play kind of poppy kind of stuff, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I guess when you get old, you know, kind of slow down. But
yes, yes.
So what do you think? I just read an article about the French and legal stuff. What do you think?
Hey, that's pretty good, buddy.
You didn't hear
a word. We're adding a touch of class. Maybe we should be drinking wine while we're while we're talking. All right. My next article is also about music. I really like iPods. I don't have one yet. We're going to build one for somebody, even though we came up with a whole different name for the show. But he tried real hard. And, again, you know who you are. I'll say your name later. But any idiot could probably figure it out. Anyway, Real Networks has figured out how to make, was it AAC? Is that what iPod, little Apple store sells?
Is it?
And Real Networks has developed a technology called Harmony after Apple Chief Executive Officer Steve Jobs early this year rebuffed a personal appeal from Real Networks CEO Rob Glasser for a cooperative effort to put Real Networks music on iPods. Now Mr. Glasser is moving ahead without Apple's permission. Real Networks says it's figured out how to translate songs purchased from its own Real Music Store into the proprietary Apple format used by the iPod. Note the word proprietary. This Apple format, known as FairPlay, is a copy protection scheme or copy technology that limits how songs purchased through iTunes may be duplicated. When Real Networks releases a test version of its technology later this week, customers who buy songs for 99 cents from the Real Music Store will be able to choose either Apple's format, which can be used on the iPod, Real's own format, which can be used on a limited number of players, or Microsoft company format, used on players made by Rio Creative Labs and Samsung, among others. Now, that was on one page, and you had to turn to the next page. And the whole time I'm reading this, it's just screaming in my head, that's like the first section of the DMCA. You can't do that. Anyway, so we move on to the second page, and to be sure the iPod plays songs, in another popular format, which is MP3, though it isn't used by any of the mainstream commercial music sites. That's because they can't control it. Analysts estimate most of the songs on users' iPods today are either pirated MP3 music downloaded through file sharing programs like Kazaa, or songs legitimately copied from personal CD collections. Habits that could gradually change if paid music sites break through to a much larger audience. Now, this swipe at Apple by Real Networks, however, could run into legal problems. A 1998 federal act, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, prohibits the circumvention of copy protection technologies, the digital locks used to prevent piracy on everything from DVDs to electronic books to songs purchased over the Internet. Legal experts say Real Networks, may run afoul of the law if it had to crack Apple's copy protection software to figure out how it works. Since Apple hasn't licensed or published its software, outsiders almost necessarily had to break in to understand it. And that's actually a quote from some...
Oh, so they hacked the code.
Yeah.
Can we call them hackers and arrest them?
No. We're going to call that a business move. Now, Real Networks, in their defense... This should actually be the quote of the week. Mr. Glasser, or Glazer, however you say his name, is a son of a bitch. And he says, we have excellent lawyers, and they assure me we're 100% within all the legal precedents and the letter and spirit of the laws.
And this is Real Players Guy, right?
This is Real Players Guy. Now, okay, let's say I have a bicycle and I'm a little kid, and you want to ride it. And I say, no, I don't want you riding my fucking bicycle. Then you go get your big brother, the lawyer, to come over and loom over me like he's going to whoop my ass as you ride your bicycle around. How is this fair? It's not.
I think Apple should have, when they put it out, not made it so fucking proprietary.
Now, Apple's making a lot of fucking money. Apple is not a software company. It's not a music company. Apple, by how they've done everything in their entire life, is a hardware company. That's where they make most of their money from. Now, I'm sure Apple is in the business of making money. They're a company.
Right.
And I'm sure that when iPod sales start to go down, they're going to lease their thing to whoever the fuck wants it just so they can sell more iPods. But iPods are growing exponentially in sales. And I think that they're trying to keep their Apple store and get it to be a bigger business. So they're trying to push themselves, and they're trying to push their iPods. And Room Network's kind of just fucked up right there. Now, granted, it would sell more iPods if Real could, put more music on it. Then more people would have a choice of buying an iPod than having to pay for Apple's choice of music. Because,
right.
I mean, these things aren't going to have all the songs in the world on them.
Right.
But I think Apple's still trying to retain, their hardware sales and push their music store.
Well, the Real Network is slowly dying. I never liked Real.
Oh, who fucking installs Real on their fucking computer?
It's a race to uninstall it, actually.
Try to find the free version on Real Site. It is a pain in the ass. Try to find, without Googling Real Site, the Linux Real Player.
Oh,
fucking download
it. It did take you a while to find it, actually, yeah. Well, I think Apple should stop being so proprietary. Well, what's the format now? Apple or MP3? That's the only two formats we have?
Yes.
I think they should allow more formats just because. I would like to see OGG on there. That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But again, Apple's in the business of making money.
Well, they're making money with the iPods.
And they want to push their music store. They're selling music, and people are going there.
Well,
like,
it is your decision.
There's a shitload of places that sell books on the internet. A shitload of places. Where did everyone buy their books from? Amazon. Because of the name. Why did the Napster come out of fucking bankruptcy fucked over just for that name? Because name branding is a very, very big deal, and they're trying to brand not only their iPod, they're trying to brand their store right now.
But that's also saying that's kind of like saying that if you got a new, say you just bought Windows XP, that you're not able to get rid of IE and you're not able to install Firefox.
But see, there's other choices other than buying an iPod and going to the Apple store. They're not, the dominant.
Is there another iPod equivalent?
Sony's about to come out with one that's got a 40 gig drive on it that was reviewed, and it's kind of clunky interface, but the Apple interface, no matter what people say, it takes a little learning, too. So it's a little clunky to begin with. And there's lots of other things you can do. They're not, 99.9% of the market.
Right.
So I think they still can do whatever the fuck they want. And Apple has actually been really nice with people releasing other things for their iPod. There's lots of little hacks and lots of little ways of doing things with your iPod other than Apple intended it. But they're really happy with that because that's not hurting their music store.
Right. I still believe that they should be given more... Apple should be a little more lenient on their formats because they can always pimp their shit.
Yeah.
They can always be more lenient. Because they're the company that sells it. They can pimp it all they want. Like what Microsoft does with everything on your Windows box.
Yeah.
But Real is being a little mafia-like with that.
Well, one thing I am happy with about this whole article is obviously this is going to go to court.
Right.
And the DMCA is going to be tested in the courts. And I'm really excited to hear about the outcome, whether it's good or bad. I like to see it be tested in the court. I mean, if it comes out bad, then it's going to set precedence, and that's going to be bad. But I'd really like to see it go up in the court. Maybe it'll get thrown out. Laws do get thrown out.
It all depends how Apple patented and how everything's all set up legally when they first came out with it. If they said, it's illegal, or they put in their like little booklet that you get with it, small letters, it's illegal for you to use anything other than MP3 or blah, 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 blah. It all depends.
Well, I'm excited about the whole trial. I'd like to see how this is.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll definitely keep y'all in the loop because we're all about it.
And we have nothing else to talk about.
And something else I'd like to talk about just real quick on a little tangent. Don't listen to my show, and don't listen to Ben Rev, and don't listen to all these other shows, and just get your news from there. Go buy a fucking newspaper. Go get a ham radio. Or not ham radio, but shortwave radio. Listen to other people's opinions. Don't just listen to us.
Read The Onion.
Little disclaimer. Read The Onion, because The Onion's really good.
And it's the truth.
All factual news. All the time. All right, buddy, your turn.
Okay. Oh, it's my turn? Oh, Netscape 7.2 to be released August the 3rd. Yes, they're still alive. Who thought? What we got here? Okay. It was
Tell me why that's important.
Why is that important?
Why is Netscape, the name itself, the brand, Netscape, important?
Is this a multiple choice question?
No, come up with an answer, buddy. I'm testing your smart, and I'm the one with the 148 IQ here.
I don't know the actual answer. I know why it's important for me, because I can't believe they're still around. If Netscape can still be around, that gives hope for better days. I don't know what your answer was, but I'm just handing off from my top.
Oh, I've got one.
Oh, what is it?
Okay. Again, with the branding thing. Let's say you're the president of a multinational corporation. You're making money all the fucking time. And your IT guys come to you, and they say, hey, we need to get away from Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to say, what else are we going to use? And they're going to say, oh, there's this open source project called Mozilla and Firefox and all this other stuff. Those aren't big names. When they say you can use Netscape, Netscape, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago was a big fucking deal.
True, true. And AOL used it for a while.
Yeah. And that name has name recognition. People will say, Netscape, that's a good company. You know, that they know the name and they say that'll be a good product.
Yeah, a lot of older people remember that.
Like, I do a lot of computer work for old people, and they all run, like, Netscape. And you say, why do you run a Netscape? Because old versions of Netscape really suck as compared to newer versions of things just for plugins and things like that that old people would use. And they say, oh, it's faster. It's no faster. It's not at all. They just, that brand is in their name. Like, Sony is known for selling good electronics. Whether they do or not is up for debate, but people have that in their head. So Netscape coming out with a new version is really, 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 really fucking awesome.
It was announced a while back that Netscape would continue releases of the browser suite, and now the release date has been confirmed as August the 3rd as a free download or by buying a CD. Let's see what else we have.
And I'm excited about that.
Yes, it's not trying to go competition with Firefox, but, you know, I don't think any of these other browsers are trying to. I think they're just all trying to get...
I think they should have renamed Mozilla Netscape or called Firefox Netscape, and that would have given it brand name, you know? That would have helped it a lot more than, like, a monetary donation, because building a brand costs a lot of money.
Are there two
companies? We all know Firefox is...
Yeah. Is Mozilla and Netscape two different entities?
Yes. Mozilla, I think, is a not-for-profit kind of group.
Right.
I don't want to be saying this wrong. Like, they are mostly... The Netscape people, the Mozilla Foundation are mostly old Netscape employees.
Right.
And Netscape is using the Mozilla code to come out with their Netscape browser. You know, they're just renaming it and adding some things that they want to add to it.
Which happened, like, I don't know, was that 6 years ago when they released the code, Netscape? It's been a while.
Was it 6 years ago? I don't know. It's been a while. All right.
Okay.
Is it my turn?
Tag.
Okay, buddy. Me bitching again. I read this other article. It has nothing to do with technology. Well, it kind of did. Back then it was technology. But it had everything to do with names. Who invented the steamship? Do you know who invented, like, the paddle wheel boat?
Was that,
Robert Fulton.
Michael Bolton?
No, Robert Fulton.
Oh.
Maybe that name rings a bell. I lived off the Mississippi River. It was kind of a big thing we learned in school. Fulton didn't really invent the steamship. There was actually an engine, it was like the Nels engine or something, that was in England. And England wouldn't allow it to be exported to other countries. So American inventors, there was two guys who didn't have any money who were trying to build the steamship based off of what people in England were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. They're building their own thing after they, you know, seen something else. And they ran out of money. And Fulton actually got permission from the crown in England to bring one of these over worked it on a little bit, added to what these guys had done, and he's credited for inventing the steamship because he had, like, the first real run of a functional thing that worked really well. But he didn't really invent it.
Hmm.
And, like, he goes, he went down in history. And history is written by the people that win. And, we're from the South. Civil War is still being debated down here. And no matter what people in other countries or what Yankees or fucking don't know what they're talking about think about things, the winners write the history books. Like in Iraq or in Afghanistan, if we were to pull out and Iraqi people wrote the history books, they might write that we were bad people. And we would have no say-so in it because we didn't win if we pulled out right now. And people that win write the history books.
Right. It's like anything. Who created the movie camera? If you had to think about it, film.
I don't know who created the movie camera.
Like, think about it. Like, who would you think? First thing that came to mind.
Like
let me phrase that better. Film. The moving picture.
Kodak.
Huh?
I don't know.
Most people say Edison.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I guess I should say Edison, huh?
Most people say Edison, which is total bullshit. He actually created the sprockets. Like, if you see film with the little sprockets on the side,
mm-hmm.
He created that. First guy to invent the camera, I think it was back in 1890, if I got my facts straight, by a guy named Le Prince. He has this long-ass name. In France.
Another Frenchie, eh?
Yeah, another Frenchie. Curious thing about this is that he invented this, right? He was just some guy in the back of this is back in the 1800s. A person can actually invent something to make money. And he created this in his garage. And he was applying for a patent, but before his patent went through, he disappeared. And some people in England wound up coming up with the actual patent later on. Yeah, so it's like this whole conspiracy theory behind it. Yeah, but he's the first guy who did it. And, Edison's credited more than anybody with it, but he just created the sprocket for it. He's also created with Vin the light bulb too, which he didn't do. I mean, he didn't do that either.
Or the whole real calmly, Mr. Watson, come here, I need you.
Yeah.
If I had acid spilled on my pants, I don't think I'd be saying very calmly. You know?
Yeah.
But again, they are the only two people that know, and Watson probably was Edison's bitch, and he probably didn't argue.
Oh, yeah, but it's... Edison's... it was a good marketing genius more than anything.
Bill Gates.
Exactly. If I had to pick a better inventor of that time, it would be Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
He was more...
What was his first name? Start with the N.
Nikolai.
Yeah.
Nikolai Tesla. I would credit him.
He was the head engineer for Western Electric, which was the largest telecommunications company in the world.
Mm-hmm. He also created, DC or AC? Fuck. Edison.
It's one of those.
Edison created one and Tesla created the other one. He creates, like, if you're listening to this, go look Nikola Tesla up. He created some cool-ass shit. And he doesn't get credit for it because he didn't have a good enough marketing firm. Like, what's his name, dude?
Edison.
Edison.
All right. Back on to winners, you know, writing history and things like that. There was an online an online magazine called Slate, which was bought by Microsoft, just like Hotmail was bought by Microsoft, if anyone knows any history about that. Anyway, Slate the other day came out and said, don't use Internet Explorer, use, you know, Mozilla or Firefox, because this is what... you know, is good advice. And Microsoft obviously wasn't real happy about their little, you know, not pimping their own stuff. And now they're talking about selling this web-based magazine called Slate.
What?
Yeah, they're going to... Six suitors have stepped forward, including New York Times and The Washington Post.
What is Slate? Is it a tech magazine?
It's like a little... Jennifer, my fiance, has a Hotmail, and she reads Slate just because it pops up on the MSN site. And the talks could be a sign that Microsoft intends to unwind other investments, which is kind of cool. Microsoft holds $15 billion in strategic investments that some analysts expect the company may liquidate so it can focus more on its core business of making software.
Really?
You know, what were they in the magazine business for?
I thought they just bought it and sold it.
And a little shout to Duel. We really like you, buddy. And Slate also has a relationship with National Public Radio, which produces the news magazine show Day to Day in collaboration with Slate.
I knew it. Never mind, go on. I knew there was something up with that. Okay.
So, you know, NPR might be fair and balanced, but they own, you know, part of the little show has to do with Microsoft. But Slate has a history of speaking its mind under the Microsoft, so maybe that's good. Anyway, that's something I wanted to say. Your turn, bud.
Yeah, you don't want to say anything about Microsoft and them selling off some shit?
Oh, you can talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, Microsoft has always been in the business of buying software and selling it, like, almost, like, straight out the box.
Quick and Dirty DOS became MS-DOS.
Quick and Dirty DOS, yeah, dirty. And it's always had, I don't know of any one product that they actually came up with by themselves. Not one. Windows came from Apple. DOS came from somebody else. All their stuff.
Well, Apple's going to, it could be argued that Apple got a windowing operating system from Xerox.
It can.
See,
but
if I see you riding a bicycle and I build my own, it's not, you know, me copying you per se as I'm infringing on your copyrights. It's me being innovative. I might build mine better than yours.
Yeah, but you know that's not the fact. Because Microsoft Microsoft's operating system is not even close to Mac OS.
Okay.
But then again, it could be argued that Mac OS has a better environment because it uses the same its own hardware.
All right.
So, that's the gist of that. Anything else you want to say about that?
I'm good. Your turn.
Or are you just gonna, you know, pimp Microsoft and shut up?
All right. Pimp them.
No, I don't want to pimp Microsoft. That's cool. P2P network connects phones globally, a service which mimics internet file sharing networks to enable desktop computers to call conventional telephones was launched on Tuesday. The new approach could have a massive impact on global telecommunications, experts warn. Skype, I think that's pronounced, S-K-Y-P?
Yes.
Based in Luxburg, I can't pronounce the name, has released the latest version of its desktop technology software, Skype 1.0. This harnesses a decentralized network of individual PCs lashed together over the internet to make calls. And a new feature called Skype Out allows users to communicate with a regular landline and mobile phones for the first time. This service uses an existing technology called VoIP. This allows people to speak over the internet by taking voice information, chopping it into packets of data for transmission, and then decoding it into audio that at the receiving end. But the existing VoIP services require some sort of central server and often additional hardware. By contrast, Skype is built entirely from software and uses a decentralized network comprised of all the PCs running the software to route calls, making the service cheaper to operate and easier to scale up.
Oh, that's really cool. I'm going to have to try this out.
Yeah, so P2P actually is coming out for, it's not used to steal illegal software.
And music. And every TV show I watch also.
As I am talking to you right now, I'm downloading the first season of, what's the fucking name of that show? Dead Like Me. I heard it was really good.
Never seen it.
I'm going to check it out. And
I've been addicted to Sex and the City lately.
Oh, my God. You're watching that woman show?
Oh, my God. It's so good.
Next, you're going to be calling up and be like, oh, my God, Office Skate. You don't know what happened last week.
Yes. See, like, I have a theory that once you have, like, a hot girl that's going to marry you, you can do whatever you want.
True.
Like, I can watch Sex and the City, and I don't have to worry about threatening my masculinity, because, like, I'm marrying a hotter girl than you're dating.
I'm not dating anybody.
See? I win. Or, like, if I want to wear a pink shirt because it brings out my eyes, I wear a pink shirt.
I just jump from cunt to cunt. I smell
it. Those were the days.
I smell it first, though. You have to smell it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to know when to say when.
Yeah.
Just say no to stinky.
See, you got to do the finger check and then the smell. Because you don't want to be, like, having a nice little pillow down there while you're going at it.
Yeah, your dick will look like a pizza next week. Okay.
Wouldn't know about that. Anyway, all right, let's go on to my next topic. You done?
Yeah.
Okay. We need to have some guy that's really in the phone so they can talk about Skype. That sounds really interesting.
Skype.
Or maybe we should just get off our asses and learn something about it.
I did learn something about it. I read the article, didn't I?
Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to go on to putting chips in people.
Yay!
Now, I don't want a chip in me. But,
You don't?
I've actually... Yeah, no. I want lots of chips around me, like my PDA and my cell phone and all that good stuff. But I don't want them in me. And here's a new... Actually, a good use for putting chips in people. It's a medical use. They're putting your medical history on a microchip. Now, granted, they might not put it in you. It might be carried on your wallet. You might have it on, like, a little USB thumb drive. You can actually have your medical history on this. And if you get into a medical emergency and you have, little ID bracelets, I'm allergic to penicillin, or things like that, or, like, dog tags, which have your blood type on them, they would have more information. And that's actually a good use. There was a lady whose son had an accident. He went to the hospital and almost died because they were giving him stuff he couldn't take. And she mortgaged her house and started a company where they're putting people's medical history on a little USB thumb drive. So that whenever he carries it around with him, they can just plug it in and see his whole medical history if he gets into another accident. Now, I don't really think it's a good idea and that he's carrying it around with him because, I mean, you get in a car accident and they take your clothes off of you and, you know, for some reason, then you don't have that with you. And it would kind of defeat all the money you spent putting your medical history on a little disc. But something like that would be really good for chipping people. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think it's a good idea. In you or on you? Because number one,
well,
I have weird ideas. And say that I know somebody with that has some kind of critical condition. I don't know one. Just make one up. Critical condition where you could die in any second. I don't like this fucker, okay? So I just take his little thumb drive and I replace it with another one.
So what if they put a chip in you? You can't really replace that off of it.
I don't like that idea either. I don't
It wouldn't be like a tracking chip. It would just be your medical history. That doesn't seem that bad to me.
Still, it's something I don't believe in. I've never believed in any kind of information being in you. Like that. It's eventually going to happen. It is going to happen.
Well, see, like, medical information can be carried around with you anyway. Like, I know a kid who's had a bunch of heart surgeries,
mm-hmm.
and he's got all these scars that are obviously from working on his heart. Like a doctor would say, the scar under his arm, you know, that's where they went in and tried to, you know, the scar not so obvious. And that's carrying your medical history around with you. If he ever gets in a car accident or anything like that, they would have some of his information just by looking at his body.
Right. There's too many... The chip in you, I don't agree with that, like, for anything. I don't care if it's medical or not. The USB drive, I can see that trying to become a requirement. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Eventually, like 20 years from now, it's going to be, like, required for you to have your medical history on a USB drive.
What if it was on your driver's license?
I don't like that. No. I want to keep those two departments separately. I don't trust the DMV for that.
You're waiting in line. You got cancer. You're like, I need to get this on my driver's license. They're like, wait.
I like it voluntarily. As a mandate, no. Mandatory, no. Because I can see that happening. You know, you come to a hospital, make sure all your it will leave paperwork, basically. That's what they're going to try to push it as, you know. You go into line, you know, hey, everybody's been to a doctor's office where you have to fill fucking 10 forms out just because you got a broken thumb.
Oh, yeah.
But so they're going to try to, eventually, though, what they'll do is just say, have a USB drive, go into the doctor's office, plug into a wall so he can check your shit out. You know, it could be useful. I have to think about it a little more. Because it's going to be eventually like that. Everything's going to be on a chip in you or around you for every piece of information. There's a movie I want to pimp out right now. It's called Existence. It's about in the future where this new game system is coming out. And the way it works is that you go to a mall, any mall, and the same place where you get your ears pierced, you get a jack put into the back of your head. And when you go play the game, you put the jack into the back of your head and you play the game. But the game pad is, the whole game system is made of living organisms.
Sure. So,
the movie's called Existence. I'm not going to explain the whole movie because it gets kind of complicated. But it's spelled
E. You can learn how to rip these DVDs so I can watch these.
I don't have that on DVD, actually. Let me see. It's spelled Existenz. And I'm gonna put the link up on the Droop site. As soon as I'm done, I'm gonna get the Internet Movie Database page out on it. And so I can repeat that. It's hackermedia.net/droops. DROOPS.
Excellent, buddy.
I'll pimp it where I can.
All right, my turn or your turn?
It is,
I'm drinking a lot of beer. I'm kind of losing track.
I'll go. All okay, right. Zendo's. I think I pronounced that. Zendo's capitalizing on MyDoom infections. Antivirus companies issued warnings and software updates on Tuesday for a new infected worm dubbed Zendo's, Zindos, that infects machines already compromised by the MyDoom worm, which appeared on Monday and launches an attack on Microsoft Corporation's website. Zendo's is a take. It takes advantage of an open back door in Windows machines that contracted the MyDoom worm. While the worm has not knocked Windows website offline, it is not considered a serious threat by most antivirus. Let me get this. Most antivirus vendors. The ease at which it spread raises troubling questions, and the ability of the virus authors to control and plant malicious programs on machines affected by their creations, said Graham Cuddley, a senior technician consultant for the antivirus company Sophros, S-O-P-H-O-S. The Zendo's worm spreads through TCP port 1034, which was opened by a Trojan horse program called Zensite, Z-I-N-C-I-T-E, that my worm deposed on Windows machines it affected, according to antivirus company Vice Antivirus Company. Why are you worried about this if you have antivirus software and firewall? If you don't have that, then you deserve to get herpes and malaria. Okay.
It's like not wearing a condom.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to fuck dirty chicks up the ass, what do you expect?
And the internet is full of dirty chicks.
Dirty chicks. Every fucking website you go on, there's a dirty chick trying to shove her shitty ass in your face. Okay, I'm done.
God bless it.
God bless the fucking internet, huh? I love it.
All right, buddy. Well, my turn, I guess.
Tag it.
Okay. I have a new term for everyone to learn. It's called scumware.
This is the term of the week.
Term of the week, scumware. Learn something about this. Scumware is different than like a spyware. Because it's much more malicious, and it does things like redirecting your browser to advertiser sites. Okay, scumware, very prevalent. Very prevalent. We just were calling it, you know, adware or spyware, but now it's scumware. And in this article, they were talking about in a deluge of emails that the Wall Street Journal got about this. And it was a combination of murderous rage and suicidal despair with these people having this stuff on their computer. Now, I can understand you don't know much about computers. And, you know, you get this stuff and you don't know how to protect yourself. And, it makes you a little mad, but I don't know if it would make me suicidal probably make me suicidal if I couldn't get on my computer. But, not ignorant people. Anyway, it says, while a fully patched version of Internet Explorer can be hijacked by spyware, most of the most common tests target more, previously known vulnerabilities, for which Microsoft has already issued a fix. So be sure to check out every few days, Windows Update site. And it says, get these programs, Adware, Passport, SpyBot, and SpySweeper. I know Adware and SpyBot are free. Pest Patrol you have to pay for unless you use a peer-to-peer network and get the corporate edition. hint, hint. And Spy Sweeper, I've never used it. It's by WebRoot. Is that one a free one?
I'm not sure. I've only used on SpyBot and Adaware, which I totally pimp because they're fucking great.
I even pimp Pest Patrol and they have to pay for it.
I've never used that, so I only use Adaware, and I would use both. Because you'll notice, I'll ask you a little thing in here. If you have Adaware already, and you go to install SpyBot, it's going to tell you that the two can't work on the same system.
Yeah.
Ignore that.
Yeah.
They work.
Yeah. Now, why would you use more than one? What's the difference with two? Well, if you're writing a program that these things are going on, and after you're probably going to write it away, so Adaware can't find your program, which is a really good deal if you're the bad guy. But if you have more than one, that means they have to also find one that Pest Patrol can't find and find one that SpyBot S&D can't find. And by the time they write one that'll hide from all three of those, there's already going to be a fix for it for Adaware or SpyBot or the next one. If you use all these, you're staying ahead of them.
Yes. It's a pain in the ass, but you know what? It takes a couple minutes to run each one.
Yeah.
And while you're looking at porn, you can run them. So.
That's right.
Yeah, get off and your ass.
Now, Pest Patrol, I've been using it lately. And I opened up MIRC, and it said it was a dangerous flutter. You know, do you want to delete MIRC? You have to be kind of educated, because some people would say, oh, no, that's horrible, and erase it. They're not be able to get on IRC. So don't always listen to them. Make up your own mind, but use these things. They're actually kind of helpful. I actually have a thumb drive that I carry on everywhere I go, except when I shower. And if I had a waterproof one, it is waterproof. I just don't want to test it out. But I carry these things around with it, and you can actually go to my store that I work at and pay $30, and I'll pull up my thumb drive, and I'll run shit on your computer. It's free programs to get rid of spyware. And, anyway,
and
I'm sure you all have them. We're probably preaching to the choir, but...
And get a good firewall, so Zone Alarm is free.
Mm-hmm.
Any other suggestions?
I have a Netgear router, and it does a really good job.
Right.
I mean, it's not an end-all firewall, but it does a pretty good job. Your turn.
Okay, according
Tag.
To... Tag, you're it. Okay, Intel is planning on a common system platform for both Xeon and Itanium processors by 2007. It's creating a unified 64-bit motherboard with a new one-size-fits-all socket.
Ooh.
Intel Jason Waxman says. It's been something that customers have been asking for us for a while now. The reseller has... Let me see. The reseller... has to have an inventory of both boxes at hand. Basically, it's a new socket they're going to come out with, so both chips can run on them. I wish they'd do that also for the Celeron and Pentium. That's not going to happen, but it'd be nice. Every fucking version that comes out, we have a new socket.
But see, that's good.
It's good. It is
every
good.
Version is updated,
mm-hmm.
And that's like saying... Okay, from now on, every computer, the keyboard is going to have to be done just this way. But when they come out with a new thing, like a keyboard that has different keys, you're going to want to update, but you're going to have to, you know, they need to have open standards, and I agree that it's a good idea for people who want to upgrade, but eventually it's going to limit them, and they're going to have to come out with a new format.
Correct.
Like the speed limits in the nation are bad. Anyway.
But if you're a server junkie and you're actually going out to buy the Xeons and Itaniums, then there's some good news in there for you.
And it'll make them cheaper because they only have to make one motherboard instead of two different types.
Correct. And I'm not buying any one of those anytime soon, so...
No. Not going to be a Xeon user anytime soon.
Right.
I'm an AMD guy anyway.
I got some news on them, actually, so... Did you... go ahead. You're next?
Oh, I'm next. I'm sorry. Google. Google is God. Google is awesome. I use Google all the time. Google's come out with an IPO. Now, most of us know what this means, but if you don't, it's an initial public offering. They're going to go live on the stock exchange. They're going to issue shares of stock to their company, and they've already given out shares of stock to important people that have given them money, and they've also already given out shares of stocks to the people that founded Google and the employees and things like that.
And it's going to be hot.
And it's going to be hot. but don't buy it right now. Anybody. Like, just don't buy it. They're going for $135 a share. You have to buy 5 shares to get in. So you're spending $600 already. And
they're doing a Ducks auction on it, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay.
And stock, when it comes out, it's big. And it's really, really big. And then it goes down in price just because the hype is over. And people are trading, people are doing whatever, people are saying whatever, I don't know about this stuff. And it's going to go down in price. Now, granted, I really think that Google's going to do a good job, though they're about to start competing with Microsoft, and we all know history tells us when you compete with Microsoft, when your company is competing with Microsoft, you sell your fucking stock because it's going to go down. Like, Netscape stock is worth ass right now, but it used to be big, big deal. Like, the Netscape IPO was big deal like the Google IPO. Anyway, what was I going to say? I was trying to get a count of how many shares of stock they're selling. Now, a company doesn't come up, let's say they have 100 shares of stock. They're not going to sell all 100 because then someone could buy 51% of the stock or 51 of the stocks and then have control of the company. And they don't want to give away control of your company. That's a really, really bad idea if you're a privately held or a privately held company like Google that's about to go live. You don't want to give away control of your company immediately. And now, granted, these things are $135 a share. And in the filing, Google said the company's top executives and other existing shareholders plan to sell 24.6 million shares at an estimated $108 to $135 a share. And that's $2.7 to $3.3 billion of just shares they're selling immediately from the couple or from the company. Let's see, I'm in the dark. I'm having to read by my street light here. And like Google, Yahoo gets the bulk of its revenue from online advertising. In the first 6 months this year, this is an interesting little fact, Google reported revenue of $1.56 billion. It's up 163%. While Google reported revenue of $1.35 billion, which is up 142%. And there's a difference between revenue and profit. Like, if you have a company making computers and you sell one for $100, you have $100 revenue. Now, it costs you $60 to make that computer, so you have $40 in profit, just as a rough explanation of that. And the two founders of Google, which is, I'm going to butcher their names, Sergey Brin, who's 30, and Larry Page, who's 31, are selling almost a million shares apiece out of their stock. So they're that's a lot of stock they're selling personally out of what they've gotten from the company. You know, a million shares, 2 million shares almost. And that's only 3% of the stock that they actually have that they're selling. So they're about to make, almost about $100 million piece. We'll just say that. That's close. And that's only 3% of the stock that they own they're selling. And it's bad for the founders of a company to sell, you know, a million shares of stock the day, you know, the weeks leading after the initial public offering, because that's usually a sign that the company's going down, they're trying to bail out. But 3% really isn't that much for them to sell. They're just trying to make some money off of their hard work. And they're all going to have really nice houses, and they're going to drive really nice cars, and they're going to have a lot nicer stuff than we. But they were pretty clever and came up with Google at the right time, and they've done a really good job with it. All right? That's your business lesson for the day, everyone.
I think the point you made about going against Microsoft, I think this is the right time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not being hit hard financially, but they're being hit hard marketing-wise. With, You know, they have lawsuits going on somewhere, I think it's Japan or China. They have lawsuits going on over there. They got some trying to be a startup over here, class action lawsuits. They have, the viruses and worms going around attacking them. I think Google is the right point right now, where they can actually go up against Microsoft and beat them over the head with a dildo.
Well, something that Microsoft has that Google doesn't is they have Internet Explorer open up MSN when you turn on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a search bar there, and a lot of people still use it for some god-awful reason. And granted, it's about to get better, just like Internet Explorer was a piece of shit until they decided to compete with Netscape and then brought it up, and they did a good job at the time. And so it's going to make Google and Microsoft Search a lot better, which is better for all of us, and it's going to offer different products. Like Google's going to have it where they can search your computer instead of using the little puppy dog to search your computer.
I hate that fucking dog.
And, you know, they're going to offer more, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? More varied products for everyone to enjoy. And I think this will be good with Google and Microsoft competing like that. I hope Google takes a lesson from everyone else that's ever competed with Microsoft. I mean, IBM. IBM Big Blue was, you know, bested by Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to best Big Blue. But they did. They're cunning little fuckers. I wish they wrote programs as well as they did their business.
Have you ever played with a Big Blue?
Huh?
Have you ever played with Big Blue?
Have I ever played Big Blue?
Yeah.
No. What's played Big Blue?
I'm fucking with you. Okay. You ready?
Come on, tell me. It's some fucking innuendo that I'm going to look fucking retarded because I don't know.
No. I'm talking out of my ass. I'm trying to read something right now. You done or?
I'm a Big Blue. I have two IBM computers at my house. I have a PS2, which is a personal system too. It's a 286. I'm trying to find an operating system for it. And I have a ThinkPad, and I really love the shit out of my ThinkPad. It's a really, really good laptop. It runs Linux so beautifully, just so beautifully. And I really like it. IBM makes a good product.
Mm-hmm.
And if I haven't pimped it already, my dog jumped on me, and I spilled my Coke all over my laptop. And I cleaned it, you know, immediately, and I broke my control key, and I couldn't get it back on right. I called IBM. I told them I broke it, told them the story. And two or three days later, I had a brand new keyboard. And they said, do you know how to put a keyboard in? I said, I've never done it. I could probably figure it out. And they said, oh, it's really easy. Not only did they email me directions on text on how to do it and pictures, they also sent me a video on how to do it. All you have to do is remove, like, two screws and pop it out, pop the new one back in.
Mm-hmm.
It was free, and they did a follow-up email to see if I got it done right. They were very concerned about me. Yeah. And guess what? When I called their tech support, I got a person in Atlanta, Georgia.
They spoke English.
And they spoke English. It wasn't like, Mr. Drops. No. I almost said my name there. Which wouldn't really matter. But, you know, it was like, hey. And I told them. They're like, oh, okay.
They're like, okay, boy, this is how you do it. So you're not dinging my jig. You plug it in there.
You gotta give that screw a little turn. But I mean, it's rare to call a company and actually get an American. And
definitely.
Is it my turn? I have an article about this.
No, it's my turn. You just got the Google thing.
You fucker.
Actually, speaking of IBM, I'm about to read my next article, and there's a advertisement about it on Novell, and they're pimping just like IBM. They're pimping Linux. But at the bottom, they're not pimping just Linux. They're pimping SUSE.
Yeah, because Novell owns
it. I like the idea.
They own Novell. How's it go?
Huh?
Does SUSE own Novell, or is Novell on SUSE?
I'm not sure. I have to look that up. Or email
us. One in the same.
At droops@gmail.com. I like how IBM is just pimping out Linux. Not any form, or they're not pimping any distro, are they?
No, I think they're working on Big Blue Linux. Did we talk about that last show?
Right, but they're shipping out servers with Linux already on it, though.
Yeah, I don't know what they're shipping. They're probably shipping Red Hat. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, but at least they're not pimping it out, though. As you know, they're pimping Linux. They're not doing like, you know, Red Hat now with, you know, IBM now with Red Hat. Right here
Which
is like
important.
Novell with SUSE. But I'll let me go ahead and read my article. That was my little rant. Okay, AMD has just released the, I can't pronounce this, SMPRION, Cephron?
I'm not the only one that can't pronounce things. That's what I wanted to know.
It has to do with
I can say it now, obfuscated. Obfuscated?
AMD has just released this Cephron today. A release date that moved up from August the 17th. Because of this move, some of the reviews that are out will be continued on later. Some sites already have reviews including Tom's Hardware, which is a really good website,
yeah.
And Tech Report. The Symphoron, AMD's budget processor, is staged against the Intel Celeron. Jason Jacobs writes a review on TechWare Labs, and HackJD adds a link to review at Hardware. I don't know what the fuck this is going on. It appears as though the Socket-A-based Symphoron performs abysmally, while dollar for dollar, the Socket 754 version levels every Intel CPU.
Okay.
I guess it's saying it's shitty.
Abysmally. I don't know.
Abysmally means shit. So
yeah, it's pretty bad.
Based in front of the So they're saying AMD shit. Don't listen to them. They don't know the fuck they're talking about. Go buy AMD.
AMD. That's the way to go.
AMD.
Okay.
Okay.
And what's AMD stand for, Mr. I'm Real Smart?
Ass Munch and Droops?
No. Advanced Micro Devices.
You win the prize.
I win the prize, yay.
You win the iPod.
I took a telecommunications class at college, and one of the questions the teacher asked one of the days, the teacher's name was Stacy, he was a guy. We had a kid show up to class, like, we only had like three tests, he showed up for the first test, and he said, oh, I must be in the wrong class, because he read on the top of the thing, like, the teachers go by their last names, and it was, you know, Dr. Holmes.
Uh-huh.
And on the test, it said Dr. Stacy Holmes. And he thought he had never been to class. He thought he was in the wrong class because he was supposed to have a was a chick teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He was really confused, and all class laughed because we'd all been there. We knew the guy's name was Stacy. Anyway, back to my little talk that I wanted to talk about a second ago about getting people that were speaking English. Now, we've all called a company and gotten the run around, like calling Bell South. I'm sure you've done it. You live in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Steak's done it. He talked about it. And it's hard to get a person. It's really hard to get a person that has, you know, privilege to do things. But it's really hard to get a person. And companies may finally be heeding the call of frustrated consumers. For many customers, dealing with a company's call center has been mostly an exercise in annoyance. I'd like to change that word to futility. They complain about language on hold, times having to speak with representatives in a foreign country who can barely speak English, and being forced to answer questions from an automated voice that doesn't allow the option of speaking to human beings. So that means companies are going to start having where you can call them and get a person. And that would be really, really, really fucking nice.
Remember back in the day? Remember back in the day when you could do that?
Yes, I actually remember that. And I'm not really that old. And, a little bit of trivia, the first voice recognition systems began operating in the 1990s, where it would ask, you know, what are you calling for? And you would say a little one-word thing. It wasn't really that good, and they've done better. And, for instance, callers to Verizon Communications Incorporated repair service in some parts of the East Coast simply are asked by an automated voice and a remarkably lifelike voice to state their problem. Whether they say they can't get a dial tone or hear static on the line, the automated system can do everything from diagnose the problem to schedule a repair call. Now, that's not much better. You're just talking to a computer.
That's like how, isn't it?
Yeah, but maybe that computer can do something more than just me listening to crap music. And they go on and they talk about how some of these call centers work. And I found it really interesting. Another typical call center delay occurs when representatives don't have the authority to make a decision on a customer's request. Singular wireless. Oh, fuck those people. In some centers, representatives must get the attention of a supervisor by holding post-it notes in the air. And the supervisor has to walk over the rep, put on a headset, and get up to speed, and that's frustrating to the user. Now, I don't really know if this is a good solution, but it says to streamline this process, many call centers are now using what is called the secret agent, technology that allows representatives to interact with their supervisor at the same time they're interacting with a caller. Why don't we just talk to the supervisor?
Yeah.
But, you know, someone with permission to do things. And the software enables supervisors to see everything that's happening on the representative screen while communicating with the representative through instant messaging. So now they're going to be a little more absent-minded, seeming. And there's new technology on the horizon that promises to streamline operations even more. a number of call centers are beginning to experiment with telephone systems using voice over internet protocol. I don't know how that would streamline it than just having a hardwire, but okay. And because voice over IP phones convert voice to data that can travel over networks just like email, they eliminate the need for concentrated call centers. Now, if I call somebody, I want to be able to talk to their supervisor if I can't get what I want. And experts envision the day when people won't have to enter their passwords or account numbers. Call centers will recognize who's calling simply by the caller's voice.
Oh,
the level of security will be much higher. It's not too difficult to replicate my password. It's very difficult to replicate my voice. No. That's fucking ridiculous.
They're called soundboards.
Yeah. Haven't you ever seen James Bond? They can copy your voice.
The voice recognition works, but you can listen to our show right now and copy what we're saying and use that. It's not very hard to do.
No. I don't know if that's really a good idea. I would like just to have a number that I say, here's my information, and they say, we'd like to authenticate you. And it was a good way of authenticating. You know, your social security number, horrible way to authenticate. Like, I work at the store that I work at, and we don't know what it is. Anyway, to sign up for a credit application, or if your credit card has to be called in, I get your social security number. Like, I can have so many people's social security numbers, their credit card. I actually have to make a copy of people's driver's licenses. In the state of Mississippi, your driver's license number is, by default, your social security number. And we have to enter in, like, per check, we have to write that down. So I can get social security numbers, people's address, people's home phone numbers. I can get all kinds of information. And I'm just some fucker with a stupid-ass fucking job. You know, that's not a way of authenticating anything. A good way to authenticate, there was a guy that I took a class with, and he had a little badge that had a little random number thing, and it was spitting out numbers. And they also, when he called his work, like, with his computer, he had to type in that number, and they had another little device over there attached to that computer that was spitting out the same numbers in that sequence. And he had to have that little badge to get it over the internet. That's a really good way, because it's, you know, generating numbers.
I don't understand. But why don't they use the money, the fake taxes that they put on your cell phone bill? You know those ones I'm talking about?
Yes.
The little fake taxes they put on to get more profit? Why don't they use that and hire more people and train them and build bigger call centers?
Or
there's an idea.
Train their employees, just fucking it all. Like, that's very important, to train your employees. I sell Sprint phones in our store. And, like, I've never sold a cell phone before. I don't really know. Just like anybody that goes to work for a bank says they're singular. But I took it upon myself to learn. There's obviously documentation. And now I know what I'm doing. And I really hate going to a singular store and people say they either don't know how to do it or they don't have permission to do it. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous. Why would you say your job's cleaning fucking chimneys and then not give them a really long broom? That's just a tool that you need for your job.
Right. You'd be surprised, like, how many of these call centers are not dedicated to just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked at one, we took phone calls for advertisements on TV. Everything from Girls Gone Wild to,
cool.
You know, Ginzu chopping knives.
Excellent.
And the way the screen would pop up, as soon as the phone call would come from, and knew what phone call number you were calling, and popped up with that screen, I can tell you everything on that screen and make you seem like I've been selling these things for 20 years. Every question that you would ever think of, it was on that screen. I could just pick it out and answer it for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no dedication in these call centers for the most part.
And it's not like telecommunications companies, just to pick on them, don't have enough money to spend training their people.
Right.
They don't have to. They don't have to, because they're still making their fucking money. And that kind of pisses me off. And I'm hungry. You got any food?
I'm making a Cornish hen.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I got some donuts. I wonder if donuts and Corona go together.
In a Cornish hen?
In a corner room.
You want to go ahead and wrap up the show?
No, I still got an article.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Oh, I thought it was your turn.
Oh, I'm done.
Okay. Big buzzword, voice over IP. We all know this. We've talked about it. It's good to go. What's good with voiceover IP? I can have a company, and I can have Wi-Fi all around my company. Now, I wouldn't do this in a production environment. We've talked about that. It's fucking stupid because it's not tested. It's not proven. It's not secure. But I can have a cell phone that I'm carrying around in my company. It's using the voiceover IP. It's not a cell phone anymore, but similar. And all the calls routed over our network. And that would be really handy. Or you could have like a little Star Trek device where it would beep and you touch it and you'd be like, this is Andrew Irwin Accountant. There's my name. Love to beep that.
No,
or whatever. Fuck it.
Okay, I'll find it.
Oh, don't worry about it. Anyway, Andrew, that's me. Hence the droops. Anyone that was clever could come up with that.
You said it on the pilot episode.
Yeah, I did say my name, didn't I? Don't worry about it then. We're good.
Okay.
Anyway, and I can just touch my little Star Trek badge. That's really cool. Now, something that's lacking, what if I go over to Starbucks down the street to get myself a coffee? My little badge or my little fancy voiceover IP phone won't work. So, to fill the gap, Motorola has just unveiled a new phone that combines GSM and Wi-Fi. When you're around the Wi-Fi and you can use voiceover IP, it uses it. As soon as you move off where you can't reach that anymore, and it switches over to GSM, it beeps, and you're using GSM to make your call.
So you can use you can go into Starbucks and use your VoIP phone.
Yeah.
Without them having to know about it.
Well, you'd have to, you know, log in or whatever. But like at your company, you could walk out of it and still be on the phone, and it would switch over to voiceover IP. And that would enable you just to have one phone. You come into your house, and it would work over your wireless network. I think that's really cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess we forgot to do some housekeeping. I have an email. One person sent us an email. And the one person that sent us an email...
You're all fucking cunts. You know that, right?
He didn't say that.
Huh?
No, you said that.
Huh?
Never mind. he said we were good.
No, I'm talking about our listeners.
Okay.
I'm calling our listeners cunts.
I've been discussing it with him, and I asked him, like, we kind of ramble off on tangents that don't really have anything to do with the news. And he said that tangents actually help sometimes, and that made it really good. And he said it was just the one person, the show was kind of stiff, but now with the two of us arguing, that it comes out a little better.
Yeah, and we say curse words.
Yeah, and we cuss a lot and say my name. and like he said, the Arnold clip was cool. And he played it for his wife this morning, and she was rolling laughing. I wish we had a video of his wife actually rolling.
It's Arnold's Pizza Shop.
He wanted to know who did that. Where'd you get that at?
Okay. I was on Kazaa looking for... I used when I wasn't looking for a job, I used to put fucked up voice messages on my voicemail. And I'm going through Kazaa and going through just various web pages looking for, you know, voice messages. I found that. I think I found that off of Kazaa. It was mislabeled as everything is mislabeled on P2P networks. It was mislabeled as a Jerky Boys clip, which I know enough for Jerky Boys to know that's not Jerky Boys. So if anybody can find the originators of that, which is never going to happen, I'm sure that's old as shit. If you can find the originators of that, I will give you.
Naked pictures.
Huh?
Naked pictures.
And I will send you an old Nintendo game.
Oh, I'm gonna look this shit up right now.
Okay, I'll send you naked pictures.
All right, buddy.
Of a customer.
Okay. And continue on in his little email. The one email we got, we're so excited to get. The one thing that really stuck out for me was the Microsoft article about patenting skin. Well, patenting technology that uses skin, it's technology, and then a process they're patenting, which is still kind of creepy to me. The patent is for using skin as power conduit for the data bus for future use and personal area networks, which is PAN, and where PDAs and other wearable technology will be networked. I'd say it was a good idea if anyone else came up with it. So obviously he's not a big Microsoft fan either.
Right.
And apparently they have no immediate plans for it. And he couldn't believe the image that was included in the article he saw on CNET. The fact that they actually included it with their patent application is amazing. And I don't know if this is true. I'm taking him for his word. But I've seen this image, and I'm going to put it up on the Droops at Hack or Droops for the hackermedia.net/Droops.
Did you mention who sent that email?
Yeah, this is Pixelfane.
Okay. Also, my main problem with the whole thing is that they actually patent the use of it in your the patent the use for it. Like I said before, what if somebody else want to come along and use that? They're going to have to pay Microsoft.
Yeah.
It's
for using your skin.
Right.
Not really that good of a deal.
No. What if I want to run Linux making a coffee maker?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to pay Microsoft to do that.
What? For a coffee maker? Not for using your skin.
Well, say if I wanted to. Say if I wanted to run Linux to my body, from my body to the coffee maker.
Okay.
I'm going to have to give Microsoft $5.
Well, fortunately for Linux, you can't really control it, and there'll be a patent-free version.
Yeah. The GNU, right. The GNU version, right?
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, bringing up Pixelfane's name, he's our honorary listener of the millennium, just because he has done a really good job listening and conversing with us. And Pixelfane, you gave out more names for our show that we didn't even like, but we appreciate you trying really hard.
We liked them. I like them. I like them.
But we picked a total different name. And I'm sure as soon as we announce it, someone's going to say, hey, I have something else named that, because it's actually kind of a popular name. But we've decided we're just spouting off garbage anyway, and we're going to name the show Dev Null.
That's right. /dev/null.
Isn't that a great... Anyway, so we'll probably have the name change next week anyway, because we're probably infringing on somebody. But too fucking bad. I think we should just keep it. Whatever.
Yeah. But
we'll change the L's to 1's or something, whatever.
And what does our contestant get?
What?
What does our contestant get?
He gets a homebrew iPod.
That is correct. That is correct.
We are going to make you an iPod, buddy, just because we feel bad that you don't have one.
So if you're listening to the show, send email us over your home address.
And your social security number.
And your wife's social security number. And a pair of panties, thank you.
And panties. And video of your wife rolling. We just want to see it.
Oh, man. Oh, no, I'm not going to say that. No, but it says email Droops your home address, and we'll send you a homebrew iPod.
Yeah, that's right. And you have to send your address, too. They're obfuscated.
What's that?
So I can send it to you so you can put your input into it. I'm going to put you in charge of audio.
Okay.
I'll come up with the hardware. And I'll paint it real pretty. And I'll write my name inside of it.
You got to paint it with crayons, though.
Well, I got some spray paint.
Okay.
I'm old enough to buy.
You want to go into the awards of the week?
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to... every week we're going to have the awards of the week. This week...
We're going to try really hard.
Right. It's going to be the site of the week. The site of the week is jibjab.com. That's JIBJAB.com. We're going to link that on the site. And it's a pretty fucking funny flash animation that I think everybody's going to enjoy. Our next is the quote of the week, which is Droops' award. Go ahead.
I've already said the quote.
What was it?
I forgot. It wasn't that good. I didn't really try real hard.
That's the quote of the week. We don't try very hard.
That's the motto of the month.
Okay. The term of the week, of course, was scumware.
That's right.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go on a little rant here. I'm going to tell you a little story, as I'm prone to do every once in a while. This is the cunt of the week. Goes to a woman named... Let me pull her name up here. Jibba, 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 jibba,
we do
jibba.
Real names on this show.
You're goddamn right. What the fuck is...
Because we're not hiding from other people.
Right. Her name is Miss Susan Grand. Susanna.
What's her address?
I'm about to say it. S-U-S-A-N-A. Grand. G-R-A-N-D. She of Magnolia Drive, Baton Rouge. I'm not going to give her... Magnolia Drive, Baton Rouge. Now, this woman calls us... Okay, let me give you a little background. I'm only a delivery driver, so I've been in this fucking place so long, I usually take complaints because the managers are too much of a pussy to handle the customers. So, I take it. We take an order to a lady who lives on Magnolia Drive. The person on the phone hangs up with her. Later on, we realize the person that took the order was new. We do not go to this place. There's four other Papa John's in the area. Okay?
Okay.
So we call her back. We say, ma'am, we're going to forward your order to another store so they can deliver it since it's closer. The way it's set up is that every store has its own delivery area, so delivery is going to be faster. And
sounds good.
Well, yeah, it works out in the long run. Well, she doesn't want. She's obviously fucked up on something. This is not what she wants. Nothing at all. She wants us to deliver, which was number one. It's going to take us 15 minutes to get there. Our normal delivery time back and forth is like 10 minutes, and this is 15 minutes one way. Okay. So and it's going to take us a while to get there. So we call her like, listen, you know. She starts bitching and yelling and cursing. I hang up on her. She calls back. I'm going to call your... Huh?
Of course.
Of course. I offered... she's like, I want you to deliver it. Well, you know, it's going to take us a long time. I don't give a fuck. I'm going. I'm fucking calling fucking whatever. You know, Papa John himself, right? So fuck this cunt. I keep hanging up on her. Well, anyway, we were going to... One of the drivers like, you know, I'll deliver it. Fuck it. I'll deliver it. She calls him, cancels the order. She makes a big fucking deal about it, and the whole time they could have been there already. This is not an uncommon thing to happen. People call our store all the time. New people take the order. We just call another store and say, hey, listen, this is what happened. And they take it. But she made a big fucking deal about nothing, and she's the cunt of the week because she's a cunt.
And what's the rest of her address, sir, buddy?
I'm not going to give it out because I think, you know, I'm going to have a little fun with her. Next week I'm going to make some phone calls to her.
All right.
And we're going to release it on the show.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Can I call her, too?
Huh?
Can I call her, too?
Yeah.
She'll wonder why Mississippi's calling her. I could promise, I could be somebody. I could impersonate a government official.
Starship 7, don't forget that. But, yeah, she's a bitch. Anyway, we're going to have our... Also, of course, we have Miss Shirley Q Liquor and her little thing of the week. Take it, Shirley.
Okay.
Take it, Shirley.
How's you doing? This here is Shirley Q Liquor with your politics and pneumonia commentary. Am I the only lady sees this? Al Gore is just, and I know I might be crazy, but he's more nellier than any gay men's I've ever met. He act like a florist on Greenwich Villages. He do though, girls. You can look at him and tell he know exactly where to put his eyeshadow on with his bald head. And I'm not falling for this Tipper madness. Tipper don't look right either one. I suspect that they need to get their DNA checked before they goes up in there. You know, I don't want a president who hisses like a queen. That's ignorant. Why we couldn't get a Democrat to, you know, have all their teeth? Somebody don't talk wrong like that there. And lately when Al Gore be going out, he be slapping people's hands, jumping up and down in the air. He act just like my sister did before she got in her 12-step program. You know what I'm saying, girls? So don't put none of this down as testimony. This was overheard at the beauty shop on politics. You tell your mama I asked how she do. Al Gore could redecorate the damn bedroom.
And now we're back from Shirley.
Okay, thanks, Shirley. Appreciate that.
And I love me some Shirley Q.
You know, Shirley Q is a great lady.
Man.
With 19 churins.
Hey, yeah. Got a Lutrimen and all the rest of them.
And Bubbalicious.
Bubbalicious. And Gerlangelo. Gerlangelo. Which is orange jello, if no one ever got that joke.
Right, yeah, right.
Okay, I have a couple shouts before we close the show.
Okay.
I would like to thank the people that are paying for bandwidth. I don't have a website that I can put bandwidth up on it, you know, like the show for people to download. Not that it's, you know, real high in bandwidth right now, but one day it might be. And I'd like to pimp out Mobile Digit, who was the first guy. I talked to him on IRC, and he put it right up on his dad's site for us. And, oh, shit, I forgot the name of it right off my head. I'm going to put it in the links of the show. And his dad's got some church site, and we're actually on it with my little cousin Pilot. And Mobile Digit, appreciate the hell out of that. And Kizzle, sorry we had a little misunderstanding with the Uber Drupo But thank you so much for giving us bandwidth. We appreciate it. And thanks for giving us the place. We're eventually going to get our own domain, but we really appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, and he also has a good show. You can go check it out at
Uberlito.
Uberlito.com, right?
Is it?
I think so. Yeah, he changed. He has Uberlito.com now, which you can also get to it from HackerMedia.net.
Yes. And we're going to change the name of the show, as we said, to DevNull. So it's still probably going to be linked off the Droops. It might take us some time. But from now on, it's the DevNull show. And it's all garbage.
It's all garbage.
It's worthless.
All garbage all the time.
That's right.
If we were a binary, we would be zero, wouldn't we?
Yes. If also, we were a binary, we'd be 0-0.
Yeah.
That bad.
If I would give shouts out to Stank Dog at binaryrevolutionradio.com. Hopefully he'll have his...
BinRev.com.
Hopefully he'll have his the Hack Radio up pretty soon. Is that what it's going to be called?
Hack TV.
No, Hack TV is a TV show.
Oh, you mean the whatever their radio is called. I forgot what it's called.
Their streaming radio show that doesn't work. But it's going to be working pretty soon. A few people are on it right now. And hopefully we'll be on there.
And hopefully, with our different names of shows.
Right. We'll give shouts out to Stank. Kizzle, we do appreciate it. If we ever meet in person, be looking for
we'll buy you some beer. We don't know how old you are. It might be really cool for us to buy you beer.
Right, and we'll buy you a hooker. I only got $10, but hey, you take it. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right?
That's right.
Okay,
and
the website is hackermedia.net/droops. I've been obfuscated. Email address is obfuscated@lab5ae.com, and you have been.
Oh, I've been Droops. And my email, I'm cooking some ramen, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And my email address is droops@gmail.com. And thank you all for listening, the couple people that have. Tell your friends about it. And listen some more. We're going to get better with age. We're like a fine bourbon whiskey.
Okay, man. Also, I need to report 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I smoked 7 cigarettes tonight. And
I smoked a shitload of cigarettes.
7 cigarettes since we recorded this show. And remember, do we have a quote of the show yet?
No, I don't think we have a close yet.
Okay, we'll work on that.
I have something to say.
Okay.
Don't listen to us. Make your own fucking opinions up. Don't listen to us. But listen to our show.
Okay, man. Until next week.
Later.
Later, buddy.
And our closing music this week is going to be dedicated to our friend, Michael Moore. The song's called Propaganda by Sepultura off the album Chaos AD. You have to rush it for